Okay. Now, when I was in college, I was told that in order to introduce a speaker or a guest, you had to say three interesting things about them. And so this is Rudy Sainz. Rudy, can you stand up? Rudy, as many of you may know, may not know, Rudy is Catholic by birth and by how he was raised, right? You were raised Catholic. Are you Mexican in descent?
I can be.
He can be Mexican in descent. And Rudy is married. Rudy actually, okay, so this is a cool fact about Rudy. He got a degree from college in kinesiology.
All right.
I'll let him tell you. And this is his lovely bride, Amanda. Amanda, wave. This is okay. Everybody loves Amanda. And this is Rudy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for Rudy, and then I'm going to turn the floor over to him. And so let's bow in prayer, and let me lift up my brother before the Lord. Father, we ask today that you would speak through Rudy clearly and with authority, that as he reads your word and speaks your word, that you would speak plainly through him. Lord, we love you, and we know that you have everything under control, but Father, we've come tonight with nothing ready. We've come completely unprepared for tonight. And even if I were to say that I tried to prepare myself, Lord, I know that I didn't do an adequate job. So, Father, we've come. We're not ready. We're not focused. We're not faithful. We're not attentive. But, Lord, be gracious and be merciful to us and meet us here anyway, that we might see your beauty and know your name. We love you, Lord. Amen.
All right. Hey, guys. How y'all doing? All right. yeah, we're not. I'm going to call your mom and she's going to come pick you up. Okay. Anyways, so here's the thing. I like to joke around a lot. And if y'all have already met me a little bit, you know that any and everything that comes out of my mouth usually is a joke, I guess, until I get to God's Word. And when I get to God's Word, I truly feel like the Holy Spirit really just calms my nerves and He calms me down and He gets me in this position to where it's fun to joke around all the time. But then when it comes to God's Word, it is the most serious thing in the world to me. Because I truly feel like that every word that comes out of my mouth, everything I say, I'm being held accountable. It's kind of like when you go back to your parents' house or something, there's times where you got to stand there in front of them and they look at you and then you're like, oh boy, don't say the wrong thing. Okay, so I do have a passion to speak about God. I do have a passion to speak about Christ. And sometimes I tend to get a little intense just because I feel passionate about you guys and you hearing God's Word and knowing God's Word. All right, so if you have your Bible, go ahead and take it out, Ephesians 6. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself. You want to know how I was saved? I'll tell you a little bit about me. I was saved about 4 years ago. Okay, I became a Christian about 4 years ago, and my wonderful wife led me to the Lord. All right, hallelujah! I thank God for her because she's the one that actually brought me to Christ, where she brought me to a position to where I realized I needed Christ. In my life, she didn't save me. You know, I used to say, oh, she saved me. And then I realized, well, that's not the right thing to say. Right? You can't say someone saved me, right? You have to say, yes, this person led me to the Lord and God saved me. So she helped lead me to the Lord and I was saved because of the fact that she was willing to put effort into me. Now, before I was saved, I was about a little bit right out of college. I had just finished 4 years of college. I didn't know anything about God things. I didn't know anything about Christianity. I didn't know anything about what it meant to be a Christian. And then I get saved, right? And all of a sudden I'm given all this stuff about, now that you're saved, here's what you need to do. Read your Bible, go to church, this and that. I didn't understand anything. But here's one thing I did understand when I was saved. Right after I was saved, I realized that I was living in spiritual darkness. Anybody ever heard of spiritual darkness before? There is a light and then there is darkness. All right? Now, I'll tell you a little bit about what I did before I was saved. And it's not to tell you that it's okay to do it. It's not to tell you that, you know, you should try it. because it's to tell you that this is true spiritual darkness. Because before I was saved, I was into alcohol. I was into partying. I was into a little bit of lust in my life. I was into satanic music. And not kind of like hard rock, like, no, I'm talking about like true satanic, hate Christ type music. Music that had Christ, un-Christ-like lyrics in them. And I didn't see any of that as spiritual darkness. I didn't see any of that as, something that was wrong until after I was saved. Now I look back at it, and I look at it as like this deep, dark world that I'm so glad that God just pulled me out of that world, because I don't know how deep and dark I'd be in right now. In fact, there were times in my life where I'm kind of glad that God is in control, because there's been a few times in my life where I could have died, not based on health issues, but being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't want to go too much into that, but the fact is this, that I'm so thankful that God saved me the day that He did. And I have complete confidence in myself as a Christian that I am saved. Now I want to go back to spiritual darkness. You're a Christian, right? Hopefully the majority of you are. If you're not, raise your hand. I'm just kidding. John's all like, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. Now, here's the thing. As a Christian, we are all on a mission, am I right? What is our mission as Christians? Pretty much to go out and win the world to Christ. I mean, that's the way I see it, is that as a Christian, our job is to go out and win the world to Christ. Well, here's the thing. As you go out into the world on your mission, you're going to come across a lot of spiritual darkness. All right? And by the way, mission is not just world way out there. A lot of y'all tend to have the idea that, oh no, mission, I'll go to Mexico and that's my mission. Your mission is right here, and you're right on the mission field as you see it right now. You step outside your door, sometimes not even stepping outside your door, but inside your house. You're still on a mission. You're always on a mission everywhere you go. And the reason I say that is because as you go on your mission, you're going to come across a lot of things. And if you're not ready, if you have not seen it, you won't know what to do. If you have not witnessed it, you don't know what to do. If you're not prepared for it, you don't know what to do. So let's go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and I just talk to you a little bit about what you need to be ready for and what you can do to be ready for it. We're in Ephesians 6, and I'm just going to read all the way through 10, 18, and I'm going to go back a little bit. So here's what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the holy places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, so let's go back to verse 10. There's some powerful words. If you paid attention to those words, those were some very powerful words about, as a Christian, how you should live and what you should do. First of all, look at verse 10. Verse 10 and 11 says this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, who wrote this? Paul. All right. Paul writes this, and he's writing it to the people of Ephesians. Now, Ephesus. And I'll tell you this, is that Paul saw a lot of Roman soldiers at this time. Okay? And everywhere he looked, he saw Roman soldiers. And when he saw these Roman soldiers, I truly feel like that God, the Holy Spirit, just kind of showed him how a Christian should look. As far as being a Christian, what a Roman soldier looks like, Paul said, man, that's a Christian. That's a Christian right there. That's what a Christian does. That's what a Christian wears. Now, I'm going to show you some of this cool stuff in a minute. And that helmet right there looks scary. I mean, anybody seen those motorcycle guys that wear that thing on their head? That's what it reminds me of. Y'all never seen those guys on the motorcycles that... Okay, I saw this guy on a motorcycle one time. He had that. And then I saw it the other day, and I was like, motorcycle guy. All right, so here's the thing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about a Roman soldier before I talk to you about the whole idea of putting on armor of God. Roman soldiers did not leave home without their armor. A Roman soldier woke up in the morning, and a Roman soldier was like, I've got a job to do. As soon as he wakes up, he gets up, and he puts on all his armor. A Roman soldier saw every opportunity to protect himself and protect his land, protect his the leader, too. A Roman soldier maintained his sword, his shield, and his armor. All right? Now, can I say sword or sword? Sword. Sword or sword? Okay, whatever. Now, by the way, I feel like I have a speech impediment, and so sometimes I say things weird and people laugh. So, one thing I want you to understand is that a Roman soldier woke up in the morning, and he was ready to go. All right, he was ready to go and defend. When we wake up in the morning ourselves, we should be ready to fight. All right, we should be ready to go. We should be ready to defend ourselves as Christians. The moment you wake up in the morning, just like a Roman soldier, we need to understand this, that we are under attack. Okay, and if you don't understand you're under attack, you need to understand that now, is that we are under attack at all times from Satan. We need to make sure that we're maintaining our armor. And we know where our armor is at all times. And we know what we need to put on at all times. Now, let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm going to tell you this, and this is based on not just what the Bible says, but this is based on experience. Satan, to me, and I pray to you and to everybody else that Satan is real to you. Because to me, Satan is real. He is real. He is here. He is everywhere. He is doing everything he can to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right? Absolutely. Thanks, Logan. Made me feel much better, man. Anyways, so Satan's out there to steal and kill and destroy. Now, and he may be involved in your life right now. And he may be trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And when I mean steal, kill, and destroy, I'm talking about your testimony, guys. I've heard some of your guys' testimonies. I've seen some of you guys. I've seen the way you guys worship the Lord. And I want you guys to understand, you guys, you need to keep that passion for the Lord. Because the thing is that there is going to be a moment in your life, and I'm going to go to that in just a second, but there's going to be a moment in your life where Satan's going to be right there, and he's going to do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy you spiritually. All right? Now, and if you ever work in ministry, does anybody ever have a passion to go to ministry or to be on the mission field or John? All right, John, would you let the little kids talk? No, I'm just kidding. Now, so here's the idea. Is that, I know, John's like, I don't want to be in ministry anymore. Now, so here's the thing. Any of you that ever wants to do anything that has to do with ministry or being on the mission field or anything that has to do with some type of Christian involvement, organization, or anything, I'm telling you right now, the devil's going to be right there in all of it. I've seen it myself. I've been a youth minister before. And I'll tell you this, the times that things are going good in the ministry is the times that things will start going bad immediately after that. Because Satan is right there and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not going to give you the examples. I really don't want to tell you about them. But trust me, trust John. John will tell you himself. He's seen it. when things are going good, Satan will stand right there and he'll just take everything away. Because his job is to not see anything good come out of Christianity. His job is to stop Christianity right there in its tracks. And our job is to keep it going. Now, verse 13. Here's what it says in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, I told you about a Roman soldier in the morning. He wakes up and he puts on his armor. What part of his armor does he put on? The whole armor of God. He doesn't put on just one piece of armor that makes him comfortable. He doesn't just put on one piece of armor that makes him, you know, look good. By the way, I don't know if that made a Roman soldier look good. But I don't know. Would any girls be interested in dating someone that wore that stuff? Like, woo-hoo. Like, I like your helmet. Okay, so, now, but a Roman soldier put on the whole armor of God. Now, here's the thing that bothers me, and it bugs me myself because sometimes I'm part of it. Our society is very lazy. There you go. I was going to say that. You put the words right in my mouth. It was on my page, though. Okay, so we live in a society that's very lazy. And let me put you like this. We tend to do everything, like John said last week, halfway, right? We tend to do everything that's not all the way full. And here Paul is telling us, don't be lazy, put on the full armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. I'll tell you myself what I do at times. And I don't know if does anybody drive yet? No? Yes? No? Okay, good. Let me see how many people are as lazy as I am. When you pull into a parking lot, how many of you will drive around for another 5 minutes to save 30 seconds of walking? Be honest. John and I did it when we went parking at Walmart. Yeah. Okay, so now, here's the thing. I mean, I even did it at church last week. You know, my wife and I know she's shaking her head like, don't tell that story, please. But no, so we pull into the church parking lot. I'm like, ooh, I don't even know if that's a sin or not. But so we pull into this church parking lot, and I'm all like, oh, man. There's cars all in the front, I think. And so, and then there was some cars in the back. I drove around to the back, and then I drove around back to the front again, like someone was going to pull out of an early service or something. So Amanda's all like, we're not at Walmart. What are you doing? We're at church. So what I did is I parked almost like right next to that one spot to save myself like half a second or something. But I don't know what it is, but it seems like we're all getting kind of lazy now, and we're all tending to just do things halfway. I tend to get a little lazy sometimes in my life as far as how I get caught up in God's Word and how I get caught up in prayer. And I've got this kind of big screen TV now, and it's plasma TV, HGTV. I watch HGTV, but I have high definition television. Some of you guys are like, what's HGTV? Anyways, Home and Garden Channel. Now, here's the thing, guys. We are lazy. I get lazy at times. And sometimes I got to realize I got to turn that TV off and stop going halfway and actually put effort into knowing God more. And so I want to get back to the whole armor of God. We need to make sure that we're not just doing things halfway, but we are putting all of our efforts into the whole armor of God. Not just half of it, not just one part of it, not just some of it, but all of it. Now, another thing that Paul says in verse 13 is this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Okay, in the evil day. He doesn't say, if the evil day comes. He doesn't say, it might happen. What does he say? In the evil day. He's saying that one day it is going to be an evil day for you. I'm warning you. It's going to be an evil day. It's going to be a bad day. I'm not saying kind of a bad day. It's going to be a day where the devil is right there. Okay? And Paul says, if you've got this full armor of God on, you will be ready for that evil day when it comes, and you'll be able to stand firm. Not just kind of stand up like a guy who's just been in a horrible battle, but you'll be able to stand firm in Christ, man. You'll be able to stand firm and honor God and give God all glory because you're able to get to that evil day without any problems whatsoever. Well, I don't want to say any problems, but you may have a few issues, but in the end, God will be glorified and God will be awesome because you were able to stand firm in what you stood up for. Now, I want to give you our report. I still haven't got to the former God, but I want to give you our report. And I want you to think about this, and this report may be small. Here's what it says. 75% of high school students, at least 75%, leave the faith and never come back. That's pretty high, isn't it? What the report says that pretty much that three-fourths of you guys, 75% of high school students, leave the faith and never come back. Pretty much you get out of high school and you're like, that's it, I'm not a Christian anymore. Woo. Okay? That's the way some people think. Now, here's what I believe. It's based on the whole armor of God. I believe this is that they didn't put on the whole armor of God. Or they did not take the armor of God serious. You don't put on the whole armor of God, what's going to happen is that you're going to fall one way or another because you don't have yourself completely ready to take on Satan. Now, everyone go to verse 14. This is where it gets really good. Ephesians 6:14. Oh, by the way, does anybody want to come try out my stuff? Nobody? Okay, look, huh? Dude. Okay, hold on. You're going to do... Logan, come up here. All right. Yeah, Logan. Woohoo! Give it a hand for Logan. All right, so... you're about to put on the belt. You get excited. All right, so... Everyone looking at verse 14? Here's what it says. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on, verse 14. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, dude, where's the belt? That's my dad. You asked me when I get in trouble. Where's the belt? All right, so, now, a Roman soldier wore this thing called a belt. Okay? How's it feel? Tell them how it feels.
Heavy.
Okay, it's kind of heavy. Wow. Good. Heavy. All right. Now, go ahead and put the belt around you if you can.
I'm pretty fat.
Huh? Dude, if it fit me, it's going to fit you. All right. So, here's the thing. And I don't think it went around the back either. I think it went around. Okay, so... Okay, so here's the deal. Let me tell you about a Roman soldier's belt, by the way. All right? A belt served a purpose for a Roman soldier. Now, before Paul's time, right, a Roman soldier had these, and we're going to show that in a minute, but can you at least show him this? Show him that? There you go. That's the garment, all right? Now, that's kind of like metal, right? Now, can I open it? Here we go.
Kind of like metal?
Yeah, it is metal. All right, so here's the deal. This is what a Roman soldier... Well, I'm not going to put it on either. So this is what a Roman soldier would wear. What do you notice about this?
It's heavy.
Heavy and... It's holy, yeah. Like, not spiritually. Okay, but here's the deal. A Roman soldier would wear this. You see it's heavy, but it's also kind of loose, right? A Roman soldier, and it'd be very, very loose. Here, take this Hulk. All right, so. Okay, dude, you're going to distract her. Just keep it like that. Man, you're good. All right, good. Now, so just stand there and look pretty. Okay, so. Here we go. All right. So a Roman soldier would wear that belt. Now, before Paul's time, a Roman soldier would wear that belt in order to keep that lanky thing or whatever from slipping. All right? Because it would kind of go all around you and everything. So they would get that belt and they would just tighten it up. So it wouldn't just be all loose. Now, during Paul's time, All right? During Paul's time, they didn't have that thing, but they had a different type of armor that came around, that clip. Anybody ever seen those Roman soldiers? All right, they look very strong. They look very masculine. They look tough. Okay? Now, in that time, pretty much a belt would act as kind of a support because they had a whole bunch of armor to worry about. They had a sword to worry about. They had the breastplate and all that stuff. Now, here's the thing. I want to talk about the belt of truth. Let's go back to the belt of truth. All right, here's what the belt of truth is. The belt of truth is there to keep us from slipping up, right? Imagine wearing that thing and running around and having that belt of truth, right? Or having the belt. And if you didn't have that belt, the Roman soldier would be running around. What would happen to him if he had that thing on? He'd slip. He'd fall. You don't want that if you're a Roman soldier. You really kind of want to run and then be able to tackle somebody. And you don't want to be the one getting tackled and getting killed. So the thing is, guys, we're talking about the belt of truth. What is truth? Okay, God's word. What else is truth? Okay, here's what Jesus says in John 14:6. Anybody know what John 14:6 says? All right, John, you got some good youth, man. They knew what John 14:6 was. Now, here's what it says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, Jesus is the truth. So when he's saying, you know, gird your waist or tighten up your waist with that belt of truth, he's saying, hold that truth close to you. Hold it very close to you. Tighten up yourself with the truth. You see, the thing is that if we're not tightened up on the truth, then we're bound to slip. We're bound to fall. All right? It also acted as a support. I told you later on and during Paul's time, it acted as a support. So if you are putting on that belt of truth as a form of support, it's going to hold you together. It's going to keep you together. Here's the thing about the world. I'm going to tell you what the world says about truth. The world tells you there is no such thing as a truth. Anybody heard that yet? Okay, get ready. You're going to hear some more as you get older. The world's going to tell you that truth is relative. What is relative? Whatever you want it to be, that's what truth is. Close enough, right? It's related to whatever you feel like the truth is. Okay? The world's going to tell you that there is no real way to heaven. How about that? When Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and life, no one comes to the Father except by me. And then the world's going to tell you something different, man. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what Oprah said about 10 years ago. I know. Oh, no. Am I going to break someone's heart? All right. So here's the thing. Oprah's sitting in this show. That was about 5-10 years ago. And she's sitting there and people are having this conversation about spiritual things, heaven. And Oprah sits there and she says, well, they said, well, what do you believe? And Oprah's like, well, you know what? I believe that every religion leads to heaven. Every religion leads to God. I believe that there's no real truth, but that everything leads to God. And not too many people caught up, you know, they didn't catch on that. Everyone's still watching Oprah. But here's the thing. You're going to have all these people in the world that are telling you these things that are not the truth. And if you aren't wearing the belt of truth about Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, you're going to slip up on those lies. All right? You look beautiful in that, by the way. All right, dude, put it up. So what is our first armor? The belt of truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ, nothing else, man. Don't let anybody else tell you anything other than about the truth. All right. Well, you want to put on that too? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to give you a second too so everyone can see how heavy that thing is. Wow. Yeah. It's like, how heavy is it? All right. Now, let's look at 13, verse 13. Okay? Wow, don't you feel like a Roman soldier now? I I didn't think it was going to look like that, John. If someone doesn't have a camera, go get one. No. Here's the thing. We're on verse 14, guys. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate you listening and paying attention. Part of verse 14 also says this. Stand, you with me? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, I love this one. I love this one, by the way. Now, Roman soldier at this time didn't have a breastplate like that, but he had that thing that came over and kind of clipped, and you've seen it. It kind of looked like the Incredible Hulk, but it's kind of a metallic type thing. Now, and what do y'all think the breastplate was for? Protect your heart, chest area. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? If a Roman soldier got his left arm cut off, could he still use his right arm? Yes. If he got, like, one of his feet were cut, or if he got just, you know, got an arrow on his left foot or whatever, or, you know, got gangrene or something. Now, he could still use his right. I want you to think about this, though. What happens if the heart was pierced? If the heart was pierced, eventually you will bleed to death and you will die. I want you to think about that. Okay? Now, Paul says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The moment that you were saved, the moment I was saved, before I was saved, or before you were saved, we were unrighteous, weren't we, before God? Right? We were sinners, we were unrighteous, and we didn't have a chance to be called righteous before God. And then the moment you were saved, you became righteous. And everything that you ever did before you were saved was wiped away. All the bad things you did, all the horrible, nasty things, all the things that I did in my life. And I thank God for that righteousness that I've been given before the Lord after I was saved, because of the fact that I would have gone straight to hell without that righteousness before God. Now, here's the thing. You got the breastplate of righteousness, and it's supposed to protect your heart. And here's what Paul's saying. First of all, know about that righteousness. But secondly, protect that righteousness. Right? Because from the heart comes all these desires. Lustful desires. Right? Desires to do things that you feel that you have to do. Trust me, I understand. I've felt those desires before. I know those desires. I've seen those desires. And Paul is standing here saying, put on that breastplate of righteousness. And don't give in to those desires, man. Protect your heart, because what the devil wants to do is he wants to get your heart and he wants to pierce it, man. And he wants to let it bleed to death of the spiritual things that you were made of. Now, I know that sounds pretty gruesome, right? But I want you guys to understand how serious it is out there when it comes to unrighteousness. The whole world is unrighteous right now. And all they want you to do is they want you to get caught up in this unrighteousness with them. And that's the devil's scheme. But we have the breastplate of righteousness that allows us to withstand that, and what allows us not to get caught up with that type of lifestyle. Now, can I move forward? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, you're like, please move forward. But let me make sure you understand this. I want you guys to understand that you need to protect your heart. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. Just protect your hearts, guys. There's going to be some things coming out there, and there's going to be some unrighteousness that's going to be in your face. And I want to make sure that you guys are protecting your heart. Not only protecting yourself with the belt of truth, but protecting yourself with the breastplate of righteousness. All right, here we go. Now, the next thing we're talking about here. Was that a little loud? Okay. For verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, he's got some converse, and I think those came out a little bit after Paul's time. But just a little bit. All right, so here's the deal. Shodding your feet. Let me tell you about some Roman footwear. All right. Now, I couldn't get too much information about this, but here's what I want you to know about the Roman footwear. First of all, the Roman footwear was made ready for a Roman to move, ready to go to battle. Now, I imagine it looked a little bit more like this, right? Sandals, right? And that's why I wore my sandals and shorts. If I was going to get up and do a message like this, I'd try to look a little better, but John said wear your sandals so you can show them what footwear looked like. Okay, so footwear, they kind of had footwear like this, all right? They were made ready for battle. They were secure on their feet, all right? They were made for a soldier to maneuver from one place to another, all right? And they allowed a soldier to walk for long periods of time. And they also had these like little bike-like things, kind of like football cleats. All right, anybody know what football cleats look like? So here's the thing. Paul tells us to shod our feet with readiness from the gospel of peace. And here's what I want you guys to understand. At a moment's notice, we Christians need to be ready with the gospel. The gospel of peace. Now, we need to be ready with the good news of Christ. In the Bible, it says to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ, right? So, one thing is that, like a soldier, Roman soldier will be ready to move. Like a Roman soldier will be ready to attack or ready to maneuver from one place to another. We need to be ready ourselves with the gospel. Be ready to give an answer, because by the way, the world is going to question you. The world's going to criticize you. The world's going to question you. They're going to ask you so many questions. And if we are not ready, then we're in trouble. Because by the way, there's like tons of Jehovah's Witnesses, if you haven't seen, coming to your house, and they have an answer. Whether it's the right answer or not, they have an answer. That's kind of scary. They say that, a high percentage of Jehovah's Witnesses go out and they I don't want to say witness, but they go out on their mission and they have like pamphlets and booklets and they read them like it's their passion and they know exactly what to say when someone asks them, well, what do you say about this? What do you think about Christ? And they'll tell you what they think about Christ right there. They'll tell you, what do you think about heaven? They'll tell you right there what you think about heaven. If someone asks you, what do you think about Christ? Or what do you think about heaven? Or if someone asks you, why does the Bible say this about the Trinity? Can you answer that? Now, we need to be ready. We need to be ready with our feet shod, okay? And we need to be ready just to maneuver, to attack. If we get those questions, we need to be ready right there to answer back. Now, another thing that I want to talk about the feet is a Roman soldier at times would go long, long, long periods of time to go and fight a battle. All right? I'm going to take my glasses off, by the way, because they're annoying me. All right. So, a Roman soldier would, they would go long ways in a battle. And I imagine when they went the long ways in this battle, that they probably got a little tired, right? Their feet probably hurt, right? And they were probably worn out. And they probably, halfway there, they're like, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't even know what I'm doing. Now, if we are to prepare our feet with the gospel, right? If we're supposed to take the good news of the gospel, it is our job, whether we get tired or whether we get worn out or whether we just don't know where we're at anymore. Our job is to keep going and to take the gospel, because here's the thing. People are dying and going to hell. And every day I wake up and I realize that even more. You've got people in your schools. You've got people even in church. You've got people just about every aspect at work of your life. You got every aspect of your life where people have no hope. And we carry the message of the gospel. We carry the message of the gospel. And it is our job to take that message and take it to them. Isn't it nice to have the feet? I mean, have those shoes or chanclas or sandals or whatever you call them, of the good news of the gospel. It'd be great to know that you have the good news. Okay, so let's think about this so far. Man, we're only like two or three in, but you already got the belt of truth. We got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the, now what does it say up there? Your feet with, okay, you got your feet with the preparation of peace. Shod your feet, pretty much, you know, put on something, shoes or whatever. So you got the shoes that take you with the gospel of peace. Now, let's look at the next thing. Where are we at, guys? Very good. I was just checking. No, actually, I lost my place. Okay. So, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All right, we don't have a shield. But what is your idea of a shield when those Roman soldiers? Right, you think it's that little round thing, and they're like, come on, little dart, come at me. Actually, Roman soldiers had these huge, rectangular-like shields. And it covered their whole body. All right? And... Ooh. Okay, don't, word to Rudy, don't cough when you, okay. So, here's the thing. A Roman soldier would also take that shield, and before he went to battle, does anybody know what he did with it?
Sure.
Drench it in water. Make it really heavy, but they drench it in water. Why? Because when the enemy was coming at you with the arrow, yeah, they'd be fire. They'd have fire on them. So they'd come at you, and instead of, like, you know, catching your whole thing on fire, it would, like, hey, put it out. Like, cool. I'm glad, because that could have burned me. Now, here's the thing, guys. We're talking about the shield of what?
Faith.
Now, it was not, remember this, it wasn't a small, it wasn't small and round, but long and rectangular. And the idea was that it would protect the whole body. And before a battle, a Roman soldier would drench it in water. We don't need to take these little baby shields with us. These little baby shields of faith with us. Okay? We tend to take these, right? We tend to go out there in the world and, you know, we're all about Christianity. And you're like, ooh, I'm a Christian. I live good and I do good. Hey, I'm a Christian. You want to be a Christian? And we don't have this enormous amount of faith. What we've got is we got this little round baby thing of faith, and we're all like, come on, devil, you know, come get me, and you know, your whole body's open. No, we are to have this big, enormous shield of faith. Because here's the thing. Does anybody know what faith is? Come on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things that are unseen. We need to have an enormous amount of faith when we go out into the world, because the devil's going to attack us with his fiery darts of doubt. The devil's going to attack us with these fiery darts of unbelief. And the devil's going to attack us and make us feel as if our reason on here, on this earth, is no reason at all. That's what the devil's going to make us feel like. But the thing is, if we've got this big shield of faith, any darts that the devil takes at us, we will be able to fight them off, defend them. Right, you guys are all like, dude, I want to be a Roman soldier. Now, another thing about a Roman soldier is that when he was fighting, a Roman soldier did not have his shield like that, right? Roman soldier didn't put his shield down like, okay, you're coming at me. And when you get close enough, no. That sounds bad, doesn't it? You're like, hey, here he comes, okay. Don't show him your shield until he gets here. All right? No, I mean, the thing is, guys, I always do that. Sorry. Okay. The thing is that you need to have your shield of faith up at all times because you never know when your faith is going to be tested. You never know when you're going to have to defend your faith. Now, let's see if you guys can remember what we talked about. We talked about the truth. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about shodding your feet, the sneakers, or I would say the Roman shoes with the cleats on the bottom that allow them to move around. And we've also talked about the shield of faith. Man, you guys are good. I should teach you guys because the kids I teach don't get anything I tell them. Okay, so Ephesians, we're still in 6, and now we're at verse 17. Very good. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Right. And don't just take it, but put it on. Okay, good. I'm trying to be serious. Okay, so here's the thing. You know what you remind me of? Have you ever seen the one Johnny Number 5? What was it? What was that movie, John? Do you remember? Huh? Short Circuit 2. Remember Short Circuit 2? He was wearing that? That's what it reminds me of. Anyways. Okay, what does this helmet represent? Salvation. Now, a Roman soldier wakes up in the morning and he's got this helmet of salvation. Huh? And stab your head or just be happy that it's protecting it. Okay, so here's the thing. Oh, yeah? Screwdriver? Did they have screwdrivers back then? Okay, so it's going to be okay, dude. Just don't move around too much, otherwise it'll pierce you. Here's the thing. Paul tells us to take the helmet of salvation. Now, this is a little bit different than nowadays helmets. A little bit different. But you see the helmet? It kind of comes down, and it's got that little droopy Snoopy ears right there. And on the back, show them the back. Don't let them... Yeah. Look at the back. Okay. The back's got this little thing here. Okay, turn around. They're tired of looking at your back. Okay, so here's the thing. By the way, thank you, Logan. I appreciate it because I'm glad I would look so ridiculous in that thing. Now, here's the thing about the helmet of salvation. Every day a Roman soldier would wake up and he put that helmet on with a passion. Because if he was going to go to battle, remember that they didn't battle like far away. They battled close up. And he was going to battle, they were going to battle with somebody that was wanting to rip their face off, by the way. And Paul tells us to put on this helmet, but it's called the helmet of salvation. You see, every morning we wake up. And we get in such a hurry, right? You're like, well, I got to get dressed, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I just got to do everything, and I just don't have enough time to do all this. I don't have time to pray, or I don't have time to even think about salvation. Got to go. A Roman soldier took the time to put on that helmet of salvation. Now, here's the thing about salvation. Amen that I'm saved, right? Hallelujah that I'm saved. I mean, give all the glory to God that I am saved. See, when you wake up in the morning, you should have that idea. I'm saved. It could be a bad day. Someone could say something about me or something bad could happen to me today. But guess what? I'm saved and I am going to heaven. Isn't that amazing? I mean, for me, sometimes I wake up in the morning and my wife doesn't know, but deep down inside, I'm like, woohoo! I'm saved. Now, if I did that, it'd probably freak her out. But I have this enormous passion about being saved. Put on your helmet of salvation, man. All right, so here's the thing I want to talk to you about. And I want you to think about the helmet of salvation, because what does the helmet protect? Your brain. Ah, think about the brain, okay? And in your brain is where those thoughts come from, right? Those thoughts of doubt, those thoughts of I'm not really saved, those thoughts of am I really a Christian, those thoughts of, wow, is something bad going to happen to me as a Christian? But if we put on the helmet of salvation, it's going to protect our brain. And it's the helmet of salvation is just going to remind us every single day that no matter what happens, even if I die today, I'm going to heaven. How amazing is that? You can wake up in the morning and say, even if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. For me, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that, by the way. Because when I start thinking about heaven, I start thinking about the fact that I'm glad I'm going to heaven and, you know, not going over there. But one more thing. Hey, John, I'm sorry I'm taking up so much time, man. I've got a passion for what we're talking about here. How does it feel to be a Roman soldier, by the way? Can you walk? Let me ask you this. Do you think you could walk for miles and miles and miles with that?
Not with this helmet on.
You say yes. You say yes, I can.
Yes, because, I can.
Because it protects me.
It protects you.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to get to that point in a minute. Thanks for getting my back, Logan. Now, then you're talking about the last thing. We have the helmet of the salvation, and now we have the sword of the Spirit. Hey, guys, this is my favorite part right here, the sword of the Spirit, because I'm going to tell you about the sword of the Spirit, and it's the most amazing thing. Yeah. Hey, oh, by the way, John said be careful. I don't know why. Now, by the way, Roman soldiers weren't ninjas, by the way. Let me explain the sword of the Spirit to you guys. All right, guys. Do I have your attention? Good. Okay. Here's the thing. A Roman soldier did not have a sword that big. In fact, a Roman soldier had a sword that was probably a little bit smaller, maybe half the size, maybe a little smaller than that. Kind of like little daggers. All right. Huh? You what? A dagger? Should have brought you a dagger. Okay, so a Roman soldier has a dagger. Now, to some people, you're thinking, well, that's dumb. Why would you have a dagger? That doesn't, I mean, wouldn't you want the biggest, longest sword? Not necessarily. See, a Roman soldier, they were very skillful in the sword, right? I mean, pretty much all of their training was sword. I mean, they could spear you, they could pierce you, they could come at you and just hit you, and you wouldn't even know that it came, because they were the most skillful people when it comes to sharp objects at that time. Now the thing is that hold on, tip of the bed. Yeah. Okay. The thing is that they're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. A Roman soldier will take a weapon with them. It does not make sense to go into a battle and not take a weapon. What happens if you go into battle and you don't take a weapon? Well, eventually they're going to see you and they'll be like, what an idiot. He didn't even bring a weapon. Dude, where's your sword? That's ridiculous. And so they would surround you, and then they come closer and closer, and what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to kick them. No, I mean, okay. Now, here we go. So a Roman soldier would take a sword with him because that was his weapon of choice. Now, let's go back to our weapon of choice here, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm going to talk about the Word of God in two different ways. I'm going to talk about it in the physical way, and I'm talking about the spiritual way. Let's talk about the physical way, too. What do I know the Word of God as, just in the physical way? Bible, God's Word, the Scripture, a whole bunch of words that were put together that were inspired by the Holy Spirit through man, that was put on pages in order for God to reach man through Jesus Christ, right? Okay.
Yes.
Amen. Now, in our mind and in our hearts, we should have that word. I'm not saying you should have it all memorized, but we should have that mind and our word and that word in our hearts, in our mind. We should have the word of God. Because there's going to be a time where you need to know Scripture. There's going to be a time where you need to know what God says about this specific situation. And if you're not ready, I mean, you're going to fall flat on your face. It's going to be like you put your sword down, right? You don't have a sword. You don't have a weapon. Now, that's the Word of God. That's this book right here. Now, the Word of God is also the message. What is the message of the Bible in one word?
Jesus.
Okay? So you're taking the Word of God, which is the, you know, the Bible, but now you're also taking this weapon of choice, which is Jesus with you. So I want you to think about this. When you're taking Jesus with you, you don't have to worry about the enemy. Because here's the thing. You've got the shield of faith in one hand, and you've got sword of spirit, Jesus in the other hand. So while the devil's trying to take you on with his shield, the devil, you're able to spear him with your little Jesus stick, right? Or your Jesus sword. I hope that's not a sin either, man. But here's the thing, guys. I want to put this all in one little thing for you. Everything here is a representation of Christ. Righteousness, salvation, truth, peace. The sword. Everywhere you go out in the mission field, you need to take Christ with you. If you are not taking Christ with you, you are bound to be defeated by the enemy, which is Satan. Because we can say all we want that I'm a Christian, but until you literally take Jesus Christ with you everywhere you go, it means nothing, man. It means nothing. And so you get to, you're in high school right now, and all of a sudden you get to college, and then we get lazy, right? And you wake up in the morning, and your mom's not there to tell you to put on your armor, right? And you're just like, I don't want to put my armor on. It's ridiculous, right? Like a little kid, right? You don't want to put on your armor. But eventually a day's going to come where your parents aren't responsible for telling you about the armor. John's not responsible for telling you about the armor. Nobody's responsible. It is your responsibility, just like a Roman soldier, to put on that armor of God to be ready for the enemy. You look ready to fight. No. Not with your sword. Now, let me ask you this. Now, this is just a physical representation of what a Christian should be like. But if you had this armor of God on you, take away all the physical stuff, and in a spiritual sense, how would you feel about going out into the world if you had this armor of God on you? How would you really feel? Confident. You would be confident in Christ if you had the armor of God with you. Now, I want you to think about this. What if you woke up in the morning and you didn't care to take your sword? What if you didn't care to take your helmet? What if you didn't care to take the breastplate of righteousness? What if you didn't care to take the belt of truth? If you do not put on the what armor of God? The whole armor of God, you're keeping yourself open for the devil's attacks. Now, Paul was not only calling you as an individual to put on the armor of God, he was also calling you as a church, as a body of Christ, to put on the whole armor of God. You see, if you put on the armor of God as a group, it makes it a lot easier for us to defeat the devil. Why is that? Because although you may be weak in your faith, someone else may be strong in their faith. While you may be weak in the word, someone else may be strong in the word. And you can all encourage each other. And you can all help each other to be stronger in your faith. And you can all help each other to be stronger in maybe the belt of truth or the breastplate of righteousness. See, that's what Paul is doing, calling us individuals, but he was also calling us as a church, as a group. You guys are all Christian brothers. We're all Christian brothers. We're all Christian sisters and brothers. And we all deserve to encourage each other to be strong in the Lord at all times. And I'm just going to go through verse 18 through 20. And here's what it says in verse 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here's the thing. You cannot do this. You can't do this alone. We need to ask Christ. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our mission in this world. We do need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us put on this armor of God. We need to pray about it. And we also need each other in this battle. All right? Remember, guys, I'm gonna just end with this. As a Christian, you're on the mission field. Right now, you're on the mission field. May not seem like it, but if you've left your house, you're out in the world. And as you're out in the world, you need the armor of God, and you need to be strong in the armor of God, and you don't need to leave anything of the armor of God at home. You need to bring it with you. Now, and I just want to end like this. If you're not a Christian today, and I pray that you all are and that you know where you're going when you die, but I pray that you can... you can put on that helmet of salvation in the mornings and say that I am saved and that I am going to heaven. Now, I want to stop right there, and I know I've gone a little bit longer than I should have. But I want you guys to know that I don't say this stuff to be mean. I just say this because I love you guys, and my passion is for all youth of the nation, the country, this world, to come to Christ and to know Christ and to love Christ forever.